Amen. Thank you very much. Please take the Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter number 6. Nehemiah chapter number 6. This is one of my favorite chapters of Nehemiah just because of all the sneakiness going on. It's very sneaky. You know, why do you like it? Because it's sneaky. Well, it's like they're trying to pull something over, but they never accomplish it. It's like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes with Jesus. They think they've got him. And then he says something, they go, oh, great. Now we can't say anything. This is exactly how this chapter ends. It just goes to prove one thing. Satan hasn't changed a lick at all. We are not ignorant concerning his devices. We are not. You read your Bible, you're going to see that Satan has attacked the same way over and over, especially when it has to do with God's work, something that he does not want to accomplish, even if it's just building a wall. Remember, Nehemiah is not about building the wall as much as it is about building the people to trust the God who told them to build the wall. So the Bible says there in verse number 1, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arabian, the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of, oh no. I just love that, oh no. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort. You could actually write a little parenthesis there. Like I was fooled. And I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me, since it didn't work the first 2 times or 4 times, in the like manner, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king, according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I said unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Methabil, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I, this is John Wayne right here, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in, pilgrim. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Tonight's message is just very simple. The goal is the goal. Don't be distracted by everything else going on. The goal is the goal. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that teaches us, that helps us, that instructs us. And God, thank you for the account given here of the man of God, Nehemiah, who not only puts his trust in you, but he also has great confidence in you. And we see here, because of that trust, because of that confidence, he's not easily deterred from the task you've sent him to do, and he completes his task as you prescribed for him. I pray, God, you'd be glorified tonight in our response in our heart, that we would learn something from it. Give me unction and understanding in how to convey these truths, these promises that are here, and help us, Lord, to remember that the goal you've set for us is still the goal, and nothing should distract us from it. We love you and thank you again for your word and the way that you work through it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Really, this story of intrigue is something that has been going on for quite some time. And what we will learn as we progress and get to chapter number 13 is that Tobiah is the person who's behind all of it, because the children of Israel, again, and I'll remind us just to get us all right where we're supposed to be, the children of Israel, which was some of Judah and some of Benjamin, and then we know there were some of the northern tribes, not many of them, but they came by their by name, and the priests came and the servants came, and there were about 50,000, short of 50,000, that came. And what they did was what they had been instructed not to do. When they got back to the land, they started intermarrying with the people of the land, which is the reason why they were kicked out of the land. And they never learned their lesson. Now, I would be mad at them, but the truth is we never learn ours either. I'm not going to stand here and say I've learned every lesson. No, I've not learned every lesson. In fact, many of the lessons I've gone through 3, 4, 5 times and never learned the lesson, and still probably have time to learn more lessons. And you go, well, that's not good for a preacher. Well, it's not good for anybody who says they're a follower of God. Why? Well, it's because we do get distracted, and Nehemiah gives us a great heart attitude about why he's doing what he's doing, and it has nothing to do with anyone else but God. So in the first 4 verses, we see here that the heathen are always going to do what the heathen are going to do. They're going to threaten, they're going to attack, and they're going to try to convince or trick the people doing God's work. They're going to try to lead them astray and trick them into being distracted while the work needs to be completed. And this is something that is always going to happen. In fact, I believe, and this is my opinion, and I'm allowed an opinion, so don't get mad. I don't think this is necessarily the Bible, but I do believe this. I believe God's people are distracted by politics so much right now that they're distracted from doing the business of the Lord. I believe they're so consumed with it, we're not seeing souls saved, because we'd rather see Democrats voted out of office. We would rather make enemies by taking a position of our, what we think is a righteous position. And I know that this makes people mad, because they think you should be all up involved in all of that business. But I am telling you, that is not the work we're supposed to do. It is not the work. It has nothing. Jesus did not come to change the culture. He came to change people. One person at a time. This is politics. These guys were in charge, and they were in charge of everything. Now look, I'm not saying not being interested. I read all that stuff, man. I read this stuff, and I'm the poor person rolling my eyes. But I also know this. If I become consumed with that, I am going to be taken away from the work. And that's what Nehemiah stops them. Four times they send, come and counsel with us. We have something to tell you. Well, this Nehemiah has been in the presence of the king and has been in the intrigue of the court surrounding the king. If you will remember, during the time of Esther and Ahasuerus, two of his men wanted to kill him, and Mordecai found out and reported them. That never stops in the kingdom of the world. People are always trying to advance themselves by knocking someone off, whether it is politically or whatever. And that's exactly what they're trying to do with Nehemiah. I believe, according to what we read here, they're after his life. Because they figure if they can take him out, those gates won't go up. The reason they're upset is because the wall is done. The gates aren't finished. The gates were significantly had to be put up differently because they had to wait for, they had to move them and cause the mortar had to harden when they put them in. And so they had to open them certain ways at certain times. So as the sun moved and the heat came to dry it out, that the mortar wouldn't crack. I mean, this was very intense. And so they were going to be the last, the doors were going to be the last thing that go on. And he knows that there is mischief. There's something going on here that these messengers are not telling him. And so he says to them, why should I stop the work that I've been called to do to go and have a conference with you? We are too easily distracted having conferences about the next thing that needs to be fixed. We are. I am telling you, as a person who comes here every day, it is difficult. This is how Satan works. It is difficult to sit down and study when people need this, they need this, they need this. And I'm not talking about people in the church. I'm talking about business. I'm talking about missionaries. I'm talking about why? Because Satan knows how to distract. And at some point, if I don't say, I'm not going to be distracted by that today. I will work on this these days, but this day I'm not going to. If I don't sit down and do that, I will be the one who's, I'm very easily distracted. I'll be conferencing about this. I'll be talking about this. I'll be meeting about this. And I'm not whining and complaining. I'm telling you, that's the person I am. I get Nehemiah. Stay focused on what your job is. I asked this question of the discipleship class last night, and the answer was immediately given. What is the job of every person in this room that's born again? To win souls. That is the greatest gift you've ever been given, to tell people about Christ. Now, how many of you have been distracted, don't raise your hand, have been distracted from that this week? By things now, when you look back, you go, I mean, I may not have had to do that. No. I'm not upset about any of it. I'm telling you, we are easily distracted. The very first thing I see here is the goal is the goal. Make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do before you start jumping on things that you're not necessarily supposed to be involved in. If Nehemiah was there for politics, he'd have moved right into that. Because, man, that's a way to gain favor of the guys that are in. This is how they did it in Rome and killed many people. You go, well, I just don't. The goal is the goal. It does not change. Wouldn't it be bad? Because we've even seen it. Wouldn't it be bad if this is the, you know, we're moving to the Final Four and basketball is on people's minds. And wouldn't it be bad if the team that was going to the goal down on this end decided, you know what? We're not even going to defend that goal anymore. What we're going to do is we're just going to stay down here and try to make goals. You know, they have a responsibility not only to make goals, but to protect this goal from goals being made. It would be a blowout. And if they were the team you wanted to win, it'd be awesome for you. But the truth is, they have a job. Not only this, but this. Because the goal of this game is to win. Do you know our goal is to win? We're in a race. We're supposed to win people to Christ. We're supposed to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our goal. Do not be distracted when people, when the world, when things come into your view that might distract you. It's awesome. Nehemiah, he's not fooled by any of it. He goes, look, why would I stop? You're upset because the breaches are now filled in the wall. I know exactly what's going on here. Then, in verse number 5, Sanballat decides he is going to try his hand at it, and he writes an open letter. Now, an open letter means that the guy's reading it in front of everyone. He's heralding this letter that was written to Nehemiah. You know why he's doing it? He's trying to start trouble. Who would ever believe that the outside world would try to start trouble? You want me to tell you what the trouble is right now? Here's what Christians say about other Christians. Well, you can't be a Christian if you're anti-abortion, you can't be a Christian. That's what Christians are saying about Christians. It's exactly what's going on. Oh no, you're more worried about people going to heaven than you are about feeding them. Now, that's what the world wants their attack. And so how do they do that? People come in and they begin to make statements. This is why Paul told the churches to mark those who would cause division among you. A person causing division and strife among you is a person who is heralding a message that is contrived in their own heart, which is exactly what he says of Sanballat. So Sanballat's letter is being read openly. And I want you to note here, these guys are sending messengers. They're too chicken to come themselves. Because evildoers don't like facing people who have a good standing with God. They're afraid of it. So this guy's reading this letter, and here's Nehemiah's reply. I sent unto him. So, hey, take this back as a message. There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Then the next verse says, for they all of the things they said made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Nehemiah's looking around, and the people around him are being distracted by all of this stuff going on, and he is concerned that their hands will now be weakened, that they will not continue the work and finish the work. And the work is not done until the gates are closed. Right now, they're in no better shape than they were when the walls were laying flat, because there's nothing to keep. Out of those 12 gates, there's nothing to keep people from just coming in and knocking down those walls again. And so he stops and he says, God, this could be his prayer. God, we're distracted here. So we need you to strengthen, oh God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. Give me the ability not to fear the enemy, but to continue in the work. Strengthen my hands. I need you. I need you to strengthen my hands. We've talked about this as we've been studying the Psalms, but God wants you to be very specific in your prayer. When you become afraid of accomplishing the goal that's been set forth, when you become afraid, you need to say, God, strengthen my hands. Even today, so much going on, and I'm glad to be the pastor. Please don't take it any other way than it's me. I'm not talking about what goes on. I'm telling you, me. I had to stop and say, God, I need these moments. I need them. I've been distracted by a lot of stuff today. And I'm not, the stuff that I was distracted by was not bad stuff. It just was stuff going on that needed to be addressed. God, I need you right now. I don't have the ability to do this. Well, Brother Ron, if you were a better planner, I had already studied this message. It was already written. That's not the point. I'm not a guy who writes them like 5 minutes before you start. It would, my mind would be so blown when I got up here, I wouldn't be able to communicate. I have to have something to look at, read, study, and to overstudy. I study like Twyla studies. She studies, she lays it out 3 weeks in advance, and then comes back and lays it out again and again, rewrites it. That's sometimes, because sometimes you come back and you go, oh. And what I recognized about me in just reading and studying this is how easily Satan can entice us to get involved in things that even are necessary, but we need to stop and say, God, the goal is still the goal. Keep my mind focused on that. Strengthen my hands to do the work. If you haven't witnessed to someone this week, you need to stop right now and say, God, strengthen my hand to do the only work that I'm called here to do. I'm not here to socialize. People need to be saved. They do. I'm not here to condemn. I am here not to justify. I am here to do one thing. Tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I need you to strengthen my hands, verse number 10. The second group of people that come to distract him are people that are from the inside. Can you believe that people on the inside of this church would try to keep you and me from doing the work? What? Things that don't matter become things that matter? Yeah, watch. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehet Abiel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night, they will come to slay thee. I've got a plan. So I know this Tobiah. He's a mean one. He's bad. Sanballat. The Arabians, they're coming after you. Geshem is serious about this. Look, there's only one way out. You've got to go and shut yourself in the temple. Except there was only one problem. Had Nehemiah gone into the temple and hid out, he would have been establishing himself as king. That's the only place that's standing that would serve as a place for the kingdom. So had he gone in there, he would have been saying, I'm king and I am hiding because my life is more valuable than the people's lives out there. Now, I love it that Nehemiah already knows this, but I want you to note that these people are not just people. They're people that are prophets. They're people that are religious leaders. They're people that are Levites that have made agreement with Tobiah. These are people that have come in to distract the people. No wonder their hands were weakened, because as Tobiah is having this letter read publicly, now these insiders, maybe like the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, whenever they would walk among the people and say, crucify him, yell out, crucify him. We want Barabbas. Remember, because up to this point, the people were for Jesus. Now they weren't. Why? Because the leaders had made allegiance with Rome. So here you have these who've made allegiance with those outside of Jerusalem, and now they are in as secret agents trying to stir up problems. Again, I'll just take you to the place where Paul says, you need to mark those who cause division and strife. You've got to mark them. Don't fellowship with them. Why? Because they can and will affect you. Well, I don't like that. Nobody has to have the same opinion as everybody else. That is a strife person who's never, ever just happy to be serving the Lord. They always have something to complain about. Well, Brother Ron, I don't know why you have to talk. Because those people caused the other people that are supposed to be doing the work to have weakened hands. The weakest link is the one who is not completely linked to the goal. So if you're working with the people outside and trying to make it like the outside, it's never the inside. People will start following. The people that are inside will start following, or they'll just start compromising, or they'll just stop working because they're defeated. He says, so why should a person such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go in the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Think about when strife is started somewhere. Is the person who usually starts the strife, are they usually the people who suffer when it's all found out that it's strife? No, it's usually the people who followed. I love it here because Nehemiah is not distracted by the people telling him what to do. He still knows who the enemy is. So first you have the enemy who's out here and they're trying to work their way in and they're trying to weasel him out there to expose him and kill him. Now he still identifies them as the enemy. Look, these people in this room, we are not at odds with one another. We have no reason to be mad at one another. Well, I don't like this person. Then you have a problem. Well, they did this. Then you have a problem. Why? Because you and I are supposed to work together to accomplish the goal. You know, Brother Mark can go out and witness on his own, but it's much better when there are people around him who are also witnessing, and they also are encouraging and praying for one another, because we desire to see this person saved or this person saved. We had a request for this person to be saved tonight. Well, we should not just treat, probably won't happen. Don't be a naysayer. That's what the outside world, look, we do live in a world where it's getting more and more difficult to witness. That doesn't stop what the goal is. Even if people in the work stop and say, well, I don't know, you should probably go over here and hide, and you shouldn't preach that way, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't say this, and if you keep witnessing that way, they're going to get rid of you. Well, that may be true, or they may get saved. Regardless, the people here are not the enemy. Remember, the enemy is still Satan. He's always been the enemy. He will remain the enemy until he is cast into outer darkness, and then he'll be gone. You and I need to recognize that there are people, yes, there's a big crowd today that is driven by Satan, and our world is giving in to them. And when I say our world, it's not just the United States, it is our world. There are few countries that are resisting them, few. One of them is Russia. Can you believe it? So that can't be good. There are few countries that are resisting that movement. Do you think that they're going to give up? No. Many countries have already given in. And now it doesn't matter. The damage is done. They keep saying, well, it's going to die out. Evil has never died out. It just continues to get worse. And in this day and age, it's worse than it was whenever I was a kid. Things that are being accepted and promoted as normal, that it's, you go, well, Brother Ron, I don't, the point is, people in here may get discouraged about it. People in here might give up. They're not the enemy. The enemy is still out there. The enemy is still doing the work. And I love it that Nehemiah doesn't go, God, kill these people. He says, God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. God, the enemy is still the enemy. These people are not my enemy. One of the saddest things to watch in a home is when the husband and wife begin to turn on each other and they are the enemy. You know, if you're saved, and even if you're not saved, your husband or wife is not your enemy. Usually we're our own worst enemy, but the enemy we are consistently fighting is Satan and his little minions. And as we are fighting them, sometimes we turn on one another. That's, I love it. That's not what Nehemiah does. This is a great example of how to keep going with the goal. Don't get distracted by what other people are doing, and don't start blaming them for not doing. He says, God, you think upon Sanballat, you think upon Tobiah, you think upon all these other people that have made this plan, and Noadiah, and the prophets who wanted me to sin. God, you take care of this problem. I just believe that he believed God was going to take care of it. Notice that he doesn't war against these people. He doesn't say anything against them. And then it says, in all of this, so the wall was finished. Yeah, in 52 days. Wait, how long had they been in the land, back in the land at this point? 90 to 100 years. Now the wall is finished in 52 days. 52 days. That's less than 2 months. 52 days. I love it. In verse number 16, it says, and it came to pass, or verse number 15, so the wall was finished. Listen to all the so's here. The story begins in chapter number 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, so I prayed. Nehemiah prays. Then we read in verse number 11 of chapter 2, so I came to Jerusalem. So they strengthened their hands for this good work in verse number 18. Followed by, so built we the wall, chapter 4, verse 6. Verse number 21 of chapter 4, so we labored. Now we reach the end of the building of the wall, and the Bible says, so the wall was finished. Do you know that you can't reach the goal unless you keep working toward the goal? You can't. You sit down, you quit, you blame others. No matter what it is, you'll never accomplish the goal. We have a lot of quitters today in our generation, this generation. They quit everything, and they call them snowflakes, and even the extreme leftists call them snowflakes. Because snowflakes don't last. When the heat rises, they melt. And I'm telling you, people quit so easily today. It's just remarkable. People in church quit so easily today. It's remarkable. Young people quit. Why? Because something's hard. The worst. So when I was working in business and I hired people, if a person had had 3 jobs in 3 years, they were not hired by me. Somebody else can be that dumb, but I'm not going to be. Why? Because this will be another less than a year job. Well, maybe they couldn't find out. No. I wasn't hiring people who were right fresh out of high school. The jobs I was hiring for were people that had to have some experience, some knowledge, and they had been in. Well, why did you leave this place? Well, because I had a fight with the manager. Guess what? They're going to have a fight with the manager. So it's always been this way. But today, man, people don't even go to work. Why? It's too hard. I can't get a job. Well, did you go out and try? No, I did a bunch of online stuff. Did you read the signs that most of them are saying, hey, apply in person? Because they want to see the person they're hiring? We dare not do that. You can't reach a goal unless you start toward the goal and you keep, so we did this, and it was finished. There must be progression as you're working toward the goal. If you're just standing still, the goal will never be met. You go, well, I know, that's why I hate going to this, or doing this, or watching this, because it just seems like nothing's ever accomplished. Watch Congress. Nothing's ever accomplished. They have plenty of goals, but nothing's ever accomplished. Why? Because nobody ever puts their nose to the grindstone and does it. This group rises up. Oh, they're against me. They'll probably vote me out. Who cares if you accomplish the goal? You and I have got to see this truth here, that the goal is always the goal and nothing should distract us until the goal is finished. It is not over. Jesus Christ hasn't returned. The goal is not finished. You and I have work to do. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. The next thing that you and I need to recognize about this goal being accomplished was the goal was never about accomplishing the goal to gain glory for Nehemiah. It was never going to gain glory for Nehemiah. Do you see what the people, the heathen that looked, do you see what the goal always is in our lives until we die? That people will see that God did that. God wrought that work. God is the reason that person changed. God is the reason that person was healed. God, again, go back to Sunday, needs to be magnified. That's why we're here. We're so busy worried about us, we don't accomplish the goal. We're so worried about pleasing other people, we don't accomplish the goal. And the goal's not about you finishing. The goal is about God and God being recognized. And these heathen who had not, they knew how to speak about God because they did, but they didn't understand what God could do. 52 days they built the wall. There were no breaches in the wall in 52 days. In 52 days, although the heathen were fighting all of the time, at the end of it, who gains the glory? They look and they say, God, only God could do this. Nehemiah didn't cast them down. He didn't get up and preach to them. He didn't call them names. He didn't scream at them. He didn't vote them out. They saw God do the work and could only say, only God can do that. Nobody else could do it. In our Christian lives today, do you have things in your life where people would say, and you even say, only God can do that? Only God could cause me to work with that person. Only God could cause me to love that person. I have a relationship with that person now that only God could have made happen. You know, our kids have grown up and only God can do. No, not me, not I, only God. God wrought this work. You know why? When God works, the work is obviously of God. When you speak to someone, I know for me, I try to consider, what will I say? How will I say it? Isn't it amazing that when you're speaking to someone, especially witnessing to them, how God brings things to your mind that you just, they say something, you go, oh, but the Bible says, and by the time you're all done, you don't even really remember what you said. You go, Brother Ron, that doesn't happen. You should try to witness to somebody. You haven't witnessed if you don't realize that happens. You can't go in with a fixed book that says this is how you do it. And there is nothing better than only God. There's nothing better than only God putting a family back together. There's nothing better than only God bringing children back. So that you can't stand there and say, well, I did this and this and that. No. You know why? Because no man will ever glory in his presence here or there. And when they tried in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God took them out. Why? You're not supposed to glory in God's place. We are not gods. What is it that you're, what is the ultimate goal of the goal? The ultimate goal is that God will be glorified by the work that needed to be accomplished. So when the people, now watch, we're going to close with this thought. When the people inside the wall see the people outside cast down in their own eyes because they believe that God wrought the work, what do you think it did for the people inside the wall? They probably were like, wow, that is awesome. Look what God did. You would think that would change their lives. You would think that that would stir them up to do whatever else God wanted them to do. But no. The Bible says right there in the next verse, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son of Shechaniah, the son of Era, the son of Johanan, and taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. And they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to me in fear. And Tobiah sent letters to me in fear. Wait, what's happening here? At the beginning of this chapter, wasn't Tobiah one of the guys that was threatening? What are the people inside the wall doing now? I mean, I'm just going to tell you straight up right now. Here's the problem. Family became more important than the work of God. Yeah. Read it. Did you read who he was related to? Half these people were distant relatives. But family became more important than the work of God. Now, you, as we progress through this, you're going to see what that did to Jerusalem. Unbelievable. God had just wrought a work that only God could do. The heathen even knew it. Tobiah was afraid for his life, but these leaders in Judah had made a commitment to be tied to Tobiah, and Tobiah was still calling the shots. Hey, give me a good word to Nehemiah. You know, make me look good. I'm afraid he's going to cut me out of this deal. I had a really good thing going on in Jerusalem. No. This is a very bad turning point for the city of Jerusalem. Very bad. Shocking. God did what he had to do. 52 days had to be God. They still love family more than they love God. And hey, listen, Tobiah wasn't even supposed to be in their family. Does it matter how you marry? Does it matter how you cling to something other than God? It matters. Although the goal is reached, it doesn't accomplish the work that God desired for it to accomplish. Maybe you've seen God do some really amazing things in your life, and you're just a little distracted by things going on, and you're not working toward the goal. You're not keeping steadily moving toward the goal. Maybe people on the inside have got you doing that. You're afraid of the people on the outside. You're afraid of the people on the inside. The goal is accomplished. God, Jesus Christ died. Heaven is available. You and I have the ability to be a witness. This isn't spiritualizing. This is just truth. This is man processing. And now you would say, well, my family is more important than this. No. People are coming off the mission field because of this. Men are leaving the ministry because of this. People are leaving churches because of this. Do you know your family's not the goal? Glorifying God is the goal. Sometimes your family joins, sometimes they don't. But watch, when you see the goal accomplished, God did this, and you start giving something else glory for it, or start directing your attention to it, you begin to destroy the very work that God did without even recognizing that you're doing it. It's amazing where this goes into Malachi. It is amazing how it deteriorates from this point. Yet right there in the middle of that chapter, it says, the heathen saw that God wrought the work, and they were cast down in their own eyes. And then the next verse, so were the workers, the leaders of Judah. They weren't paying attention. What drives you? Is the goal still the goal, or are you distracted? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.